you, Pastor. God bless you. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I wanted to try to sing a song. Y'all want to hear me sing a song? Would you like for me to sing a song? I believe I'm going to sing a song. He said you couldn't go to sleep while I was preaching. I'm going to prove him wrong. Go to sleep. Go to sleep, little baby. That was a joke. You're supposed to laugh. Brother Gravely called for coffee break right before I got up to preach, and 150 of you got out, and I said, I can't wait till camp meeting in September. I'm calling for coffee break right before he preaches. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith Brother John, I will repay. Of course, you know I'm just kidding. Time you want to eat supper tonight, preacher? About 5:45, okay. God bless you. I won't be long. I really just got a little simple thought on my heart today. And I want you young people to pay attention. You might not need what I'm going to preach today. You might not need it right now. But the day is going to come when you're going to be all by yourself. And you're going to have to learn to draw some fresh water from an old well. And you're going to have to find our old friend, Brother David. And you're going to have to look at him and say, David, what did you do? When you find yourself all alone, surrounded by all kinds of people. 1 Samuel 30, verse number 1, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the King James Bible. The Bible said, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag was smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives and were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and there were their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were gathered with him lifted up their voice and wept. This is the mighty men. This is a military. Until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake a stone in him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Elimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Thou shalt surely overtake them, and recover all. So fathers, I bind your presence. I pray to help me today. Help these people. Lord, my heart's heavy for these young people, and I pray you'd help me to give them something that they can use to come down through the years. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. In this text, he is the only one encouraging himself. Everybody else has got stones and they want to kill him. David has lost his family. A house that he's only lived in for about a year and 4 months just got burned to the ground. David's having a bad day. All these men that have followed him, now they want to kill him. David's having a bad day. David doesn't have a camp meeting to encourage him. David doesn't have a McCamey CD to pop in to play, or the Hensons to play, or the Harris Brothers to play. David ain't got a favorite old tape of a preacher, amen, to pull out and encourage and let somebody else encourage him. God don't even show up and pat him on the back and say, David, let me encourage you. An angel don't even show up and say, David, let me encourage you. David by himself has got to go to God to encourage himself. If you're waiting on me to encourage you, it might not happen. If you're waiting on your preacher to encourage you, it might not happen. If you're waiting on any of these men on the platform tonight or any of the singers to encourage you, it might not happen. You may be like me. Sometimes I go to my wife and I pooch my lips out and I throw a pity party. And I shouldn't have done it, but years ago I preached on this, my party, I'll cry if I want to. And that's one of those messages that my wife and my daughters especially have not forgotten. So every time I throw a pity party, my oldest daughter especially likes to remind me of that sermon. Have you ever went to somebody really needing encouragement and they didn't help you? Have you ever went to somebody knowing they walk with God and they're going to have my answers, and by the time you leave, you're worse than you was when you went to them? Isn't it amazing when you've got something bothering you and maybe an experience, maybe a pain, maybe something going on, somebody did you wrong, maybe everybody's got their hands full of stones and they want to kill you, and you go to somebody to get help and you try to explain to them what you've been through, and about halfway through they stop you and start telling their pity party. Hey, man, I'm trying to talk to you about what I'm going through. I didn't come to talk to you about what you're going through. And now I'm going to get more depressed because I got to hear what you went through. Can I get a witness? So David has encouraged himself and the Lord is God. I would like to borrow one of my daddy's sayings and preach on this subject this afternoon. If you want something done right, do it yourself. Say amen right there. I might not like the way you try to encourage me, and I might not like the way you try to pick me up. And matter of fact, it might get on my nerves and make me worse. Amen. But if anybody in this building knows what fires me up, I do. If anybody knows what helps me out, I do. If anybody knows how to get in the presence of God for myself, it is me. I tell you what we need to do. We need to quit trying to depend on everybody else and learn how to get in the presence of God and get some help from God ourselves. Amen. And get encouraged ourselves. David is in a bad way. He has been rejected by Saul. Then he got rejected by the Philistines. That ain't good. David, before he gets here, has been rejected by the rejects. I mean, it's one thing to get rejected by somebody that's walking with God. It's one thing to get rejected by some spiritual giant, but to get rejected by the rejects, that ain't no good. Amen. He's been rejected by the rejects. His home has been invaded. Amen. They smote Ziklag, his smitten, they burned it with fire. He only lived there a full year and 4 months. His brand new house just got burned to the ground. The innocent have been taken, made captives and carried away. It's bad when the innocent bystanders are the people, amen, that get taken away and carried away with their own crowd. And his wife and children wasn't out there fighting the Philistines. They wasn't doing nothing but being faithful to their husbands, and now they've been taken. And by the way, if Saul would have did his job way back when, amen, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites, they wouldn't have to be putting up with this. And now these innocent bystanders are having to suffer at the hands of somebody that didn't go all the way with God. And young people, somebody's going to suffer. If you don't do everything God tells you to do, your children's going to pay the price for your half-hearted service to God. The innocent. Oh, the insult from the enemy. This is an in-your-face move. You ain't here. I didn't have to fight you. This was so easy. We could come in and we got your wives and we got your children and we took them captive and you wasn't even here to stop us. What an in-your-face move to mess with another man's wife, especially when he ain't home. Oh, what an insult. Well, David's having a bad day. Oh, the indictment from the brethren, verse number 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake a stone at him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Amen. They're blaming every bit of this on him. In essence, they might as well have said, hey, David, if we wouldn't have been following you, we wouldn't be going through this. Hey, brethren, you ever had your church say that to you? Hey, man, if we wouldn't have followed you, we wouldn't be in this financial mess we're in. Hey, we wouldn't have the people leave. You have led us to the backside of the desert. And by the way, when God has your man of God lead you to the backside of the desert, it may be God wanting him to have that burning bush experience like Moses did. Hey, the desert ain't always for the people. Sometimes it's for the man of God to get a word from heaven. And now they're speaking against him. These are words of distress, words of death. They want to take his life away, his ministry life, his military life, his marriage life. Amen. We don't want nothing else to do to you. We're going to kill you. Words of grief. They're playing the blame game. David's having a bad day. He encouraged himself. How did he do this? Briefly, I'm going to give you this quick. And what I'm fixing to say is easy preaching and hard living. David didn't just get mad and take off after the enemy without praying about it. Before David ever went back to get what was his, before he pursued after his wives and his children, before he pursued after what he lost, he made his mind up. He was going to get in hot pursuit of God. He was going to get in the presence of God. And how many times have we made the mistake, amen, when we lost something, to try to go back to get it up without God's presence? David's doing something that I have not perfected in my own life. I can't live it. I try to. I'd like to say that I know a little bit about it, but there is a lady that has showed up on the scene in our text. She's not named. She's not mentioned. Well, you study her in the pages of the Bible, you'll find out she's one of the prettiest ladies in the Word of God. She's got the most repulsive job that I think God's ever gave anybody in the Bible. And here comes this lady by the name of Patience. And doesn't James say it real well? Let patience have her perfect work. David has had all this is happening in David's life, and patience is working on him. And David, hey man, boy, if that had been most of us Baptist preachers, we'd have looked at that crowd that we'd been leading, that'd been following us, and we'd have pulled our swords out and said, you want some of this? You ain't going to blame me. I ain't putting up with that. Hey man, this ain't my fault. Hey man, and boy, we'd have been in battle with each other. But David didn't do that. David didn't draw his sword on his own men, even when they had stones in their hands to throw at him. David, my beloved friend, first of all today, did not take this personal when the people he was leading was hurt at him. David had to take a look and say, you know what? I ain't the only one hurting here today. My family ain't the only one been taken captive. My house ain't the only one that's been burned to the ground. These men have been following me. Yeah, and they got some real hurtful words. But I've got to learn how not to take this personal. And brother, when people get hurt, it don't matter who you are, they're going to say things to hurt you. Hey, man, they're going to say things that are offensive. And would God give us enough discernment to know how not to take it so personal? The stones of their words outweighed any stone that they could have picked up and thrown at David. It would have been easier to have taken a literal stoning with stones other than the stones of these words. He has not taken this personal. But instead of taking it personal, he takes responsibility. You know what? We're going to do something about this. You know what? We're going to make something happen right here. So if all we ever do is take everything personal, we're not going to do anything. So instead of taking these critical words from people that we love and people that we lead so personal, why don't we take responsibility? Hey, there ain't no use of standing here pouting about it the rest of our lives. Ain't no use sitting here writing a book about it the rest of our lives. Hey, man, let's don't let this be the end of us. Let's don't let this be our legacy or our testimony. Let's don't let the story end up with the women gone and the children gone. Hey, man, let's don't let it end there. Hey, man, let's do something about this. David didn't take it personal. David is going after. But then, and I want to get some words. When he had no power in himself, verse number 4, he turned to the power of God. Amen. There are going to be days in our lives when we're going to have to realize, I ain't got the strength to do this. I ain't got the power to do this. You battle with your children, ladies, and you battle with your marriage, and you battle with your church preachers. You battle with this, and you battle with that. Amen. And you're trying to do everything in your flesh and trying to, amen, do everything with your own power. Don't forget, it's the power of the Holy Ghost of God that gets the job done. It was a happy day in my life as a young preacher that it wasn't my illustrations, that it wasn't my personality, that it wasn't my zeal. It wasn't how loud I got. It's the power of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost that gets the job done. He has decided to trust in the power of God. It's going to get done. God's going to have to give the power. But then nextly, as we hasten along, verse number 7, David said unto Abiathar the priest. He kept a priest close by. He kept somebody that knew how to get in the presence of God real close to him. Hey, there gonna be times, amen. There have been lots of times in my life, and let me testify to you. Hey, man, I'd go read my Bible, and I'm just being honest. It's just black squigglies on white paper, and I'm not being disrespectful to the Word of God. There have been a lot of times I've got on my knees, and I prayed for hours at a time, and it didn't go nowhere. And Brother Doug, but there's been several times that I've been able to go to my bride and say, honey, I need you to pray for me, or go to another brother and say, I need you. Hey, you're walking with God, you know the touch of God, you know the presence of God. Hey, young people, you better keep somebody close to you that knows how to get into the presence of God on your behalf. Thank God for them times. Up when I couldn't pray, somebody else could. Up when I couldn't get an answer, there's somebody in my life that knew how to call on God for me.
Yes.
You want something done right? Do it yourself. Get somebody that knows God. Somebody knows something about the presence of God. He said, bring me the ephod. The priest had the ephod. Now, the Bible doesn't say in this text that David put the ephod on, so let's make an application. The ephod was a mantle that covered the whole upper body except for the arms. Amen. Shoulders. It covered his shoulders to help bear the load. It would cover the back, and God's saying, I got your back. It covered the chest so we could have a covered heart. Oh, it covered the stomach so we could digest anything that we have to eat. It would cover the lower back so we could pick up the load and carry the load. Oh, beloved, I'm telling you, he knew somebody. But here's the point that I want to emphasize this afternoon. The Lord's will today. Amen. Boy, not only did he have a priest, but I'm going to tell you what David did to encourage himself in the Lord. Amen. This is so simple. Amen. But he prayed. He called on God. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, he just simply, yeah, he's got somebody who knows how to get in the presence of God. But the moment came in his life when he said, you know what? I can't depend on everybody else's prayers. I can't expect everybody to pray for me all the time. I'm going to have to go to God on my own. I'm going to have to get in the presence of God on my own. Oh, hallelujah. Up for the days that we pushed it all to the side. Amen. We ignored the critical words. We ignored the death threats. We ignored what the devil had to say, what our own flesh had to say. And we got on our knees somewhere and we said, God, I need help here. God, God, I need you to touch me. God, I need you to breathe on me. God, I need you to help me. And God, I do not know how you pray, but I know how I pray. Sometimes all I've got to do, when I humble my heart, did you hear that word, humility? Us proud guys got a problem with some of that humility stuff. We do. When I humble my heart and I got a broken and a contrite spirit, I don't know about y'all. Well, all I've got to do is say one word. All I got to do is get on my knees, bend over my little altar there, or go down to the rock pile, or if I'm in a hotel praying, and all I got to do is say, Father, I ain't got to tell him nothing else. I ain't got to say nothing else. That's it. He already knows what I have need of before I asked him. And all I got to do, Brother Fleur, is just say, Father. And when my heart is right and it's broken, and when your heart's right and it's broken, and you say that word, Father, I'm glad God will peel back every dark cloud. I'm glad he'll run through everything that stands between us and heaven. And God, he'll come to where we're at. He'll embrace us. He'll love us. He'll remind us that we're a child of God. He'll do for us what nobody else can. He prayed. In his prayer, in this text rather, we find out that he lost his wife. He may have lost his love life, but he didn't lose his love line. He may have lost his little ones, but he didn't lose his hope. And in our prayer that we would study of our good friend David today, he asked God two questions. He said, shall I pursue after this troop? Question mark. Shall I overtake them? Shall I pursue? I noticed that word I right there. He didn't say, shall we pursue? He said, shall I pursue? David's mentality was, if I got to go by myself, then I'm going. If I stand up and I make an announcement to the whole church or the whole camp meeting, I got something I got to do. Everybody sits there and looks at me like I'm crazy. And I got to walk out of these doors. And I got to go do what God has told me to do all by myself. And that's what I'm going to do. How come we have to always have a crowd of people with us to verify the will of God for our lives? Now, I like to seek wise counsel. My wife and I have been praying, some of you know what I'm talking about something for several months now. God's turning my heart, changing my heart in a few areas. And we're praying God to let something come to pass. And I could ask you what you think and you can get excited about it. I never forget some of you in the building when God told me to start the Mount Carmel Baptist camp meeting. I called you and you were so excited. Go for it, Brother John. We'll be there. And some of the other ones of you in the building, I wouldn't look at you or call you out. I called you. You weren't mean. You weren't rude. You told me, you said, hey, I don't think we need another camp meeting. With all due respect, I'm glad I didn't listen to you. And I would go through this emotional roller coaster trying to get a witness off the brethren of what God wanted me to do when I done heard from heaven and God done told me what to do. And I didn't need the approval and I didn't need the permission. See, that's why, hey, y'all are picking up what I'm putting down. You better learn. And this is what I like to call the alone praying. All by yourself. Brother, he didn't have to get the priest to go to God for him this time. He heard from heaven and it was him all alone prayers, and you show me somebody. Hallelujah. That was alone with God, and God told him what to do. And I'll show you somebody that ain't gonna wobble on the axles. They told us when we first got saved, Brother Doug, you remember, we was all together them days. They told us when we first got saved that get a jug of water and go to the woods and pray all day long. So we'd get a jug of water and go to the woods and pray all day long. Then they said, well, you ought to try praying all night long. So we'd get a jug of water and go pray all night long. Find God, seek God. Get out there by yourself where there ain't nobody looking and watching. Some secret prayers, brother. Yes. Them secret prayers were there. Yeah. Ain't nobody. You pray the powers of hell back, and you pray the doom and gloom back, and you pray through that captive mind that the devil's messing with your head. You pray through all that, and you get in the presence of God. If you want something done right, do it yourself. He said, shall I overtake them again? He's by himself in this business. I'll do it by myself. The word pursue and overtake are in this chapter. Not only would look at the alone prayers, but I like these action prayers. He said, shall I pursue and overtake them? He's got action words in his prayers. And just a little action. You'll preach like you pray, sir. You'll live like you pray. I never forget, this is just the way it was years ago. Okay, it's just the way it was. This is my illustration. Way back in the day up in Tennessee, there was two churches, good churches, both of them. There was the white church and the black church. And nobody's prejudiced, nobody was racist. That's just how it was back in the day. And in between these two churches, they built a bar. And the white pastor contacted the black pastor, and he said, we got to pray about this. This ain't good. And they agreed to pray together that God would shut that bar down. And after a few weeks, the bar burnt to the ground. So the white pastor went to the black pastor. And he said, well, it looks like God answered our prayer. I'm not being prejudiced. Just get over it, all right? Okay? White pastor said, brother, looks like God answered our prayer. And he said, brother, I don't want to be mean or rude to you, but I want to tell you, brother, the difference between us black church folk and you white church folk. And he said, what's that? He said, we put feet on our prayers. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. If that's all you're going to do is talk about it, not put no action behind it, there ain't never anything ever going to get done in your life. But I'm glad, thank God, hallelujah, amen, that you can get along with God and get some encouragement in your heart and get some fire in your bones and some excitement in your spirit and put some action in your life. Can I borrow another statement from my dear old daddy? Just don't stand there. Do something. Yep, man. You want something done, do it yourself, good neighbor. Hallelujah. They were action prayer. But I like this. I like this next little thought. God, he answered him. Pursued. For thou shalt utterly overtake them, and without fail recover all. These are answered prayers. God has given an answer. God, have you ever just wrestled with something in prayer? Days and hours and months and years. And boy, you're wrestling with it and wrestling with it and wrestling with it. And when you finally give up, and you say something like this, Lord, I've done all this praying. Lord, I hope I found favor in your eyes. But Lord, I'm not trying to tell you how to deal with this subject. But Lord, would you help me out? And then the Holy Ghost would reply like this: all you had to do was ask. I thought that's what I've been wrestling about. I thought that's what I've been struggling about. And it wasn't, amen, to make us super spiritual saints or nothing like that. It was God working every ill motive out of us. And it was God working the pride out of us. And it was God letting patience work in us. That's why it lets us wrestle with things. That's why it makes us wait. Amen. And when we finally get to a place, God would say, that's all you had to do was ask. And I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of guy, I'm like, is it that simple? Was it really that simple? You mean if I'd humbled my heart a month ago, 10 years ago, if I'd have humbled my heart all them hours ago, that, and I would just say, Jesus, would, that would have been it? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. She's answered prayers. I like it. My God answers prayers, buddy. I have not that I'm submissive to her, but I have a fear of my wife. I don't know what it is about that woman. She's not ruly. You know her. She's one of the sweetest individuals you ever met in your life. You know her. I'm scared of her prayer life. I don't want her praying against me ever again. The statute of limitations has passed on this, so you cannot put me in jail. Years ago, me and my brother Matthew were, I guess one day we'll grow up, but we found some black powder. We started making some little bombs. We were blowing up. We wasn't blowing up banks or abortion clinics, nothing like that. This is why I hate live stream preaching right here. We found an old shop back one day. Dusted the thing. It was cool. I love Tannerite, don't you? I was preaching a meeting. Well, I can't tell you, but man, that beaver dam's gone. So are the beavers, okay? And so we're having fun with this black powder stuff, and we ran out of work. And my meetings just kind of shut off. I'm like, what in the world? So I go to our go-to prayer warrior, Sister Morgan. I said, honey, you're going to have to pray us some meetings in. You're going to have to pray us some work in. She looked at me and said, I'm praying against you too. So what are you talking about? She said, I don't care if we never make another dime, lose everything we got. I'm not going to accuse her of calling us a bunch of idiots. She looked at me and said, I got these three babies. They're all in diapers. And you're going to go out here and get your fool self killed because you like blowing boulders and vacuum cleaners up. She said, I'm not praying for you to make any more money. I love my husband, and I don't want him dead. So I went to Matthew, and I said, Matthew, the reason we're broke is because your sister-in-law, who seems to be God's favorite child up here in Western North Carolina, does things for her. I've watched that woman pray it in and pray it down. She don't like me talking like this, but she ain't here. And she's just, my children go to her way before they go to me about prayer requests. I said, Matthew, Stacy's praying against us. Said she's going to pray that we ain't going to make no more money ever again because she don't want me to be dead. And she might be upset enough, it might not bother her if you died right. That's a joke. That never did happen. I'll clear the air on that. I'll get a whipping out. She's watching live stream right now to make sure I don't do nothing foolish. You see me check my phone and it's a text. Ha, ha, ha. in a million years. In a million years. She's probably praying right now. Shut him up, Lord. Shut him up. All joking aside, I'm glad I got a wife that knows how to call on God. I'm glad we got people that know how to get a prayer answered. Me and Matthew, we repented. I've been preaching 30 years. That ain't never happened. Not 2 days later, we repented. I called her up and I said, I didn't call her. I was four cell phones. I went over to the house and I said, all right, we're done. You mean it? Oh, yeah, we're done. No. I mean, your wife calls you by your full name. Only your mama's supposed to do that. Now, Brother John Paul Morgan, preacher man, Christian with a testimony, preacher with a King James Bible, let me know how I'm supposed to be acting. You mean it? Yep. Not 30 minutes, not 3 hours, not 2 days, not 2 months. As soon as we repented, the phone started ringing off the hook. Preachers was calling me to come preach. People was calling us to come work. I'm telling you, God answers prayers. Some of you ruly girls going to grow up and beat a man down. What you need to do, submit, learn how to control him, win your prayer life. Say amen right there. Oh, my time's coming. It's assuring prayers. But I'm done. I want to give you this. There's so much in this text. I got 3 minutes left. You're going to have to pray. And then you are going to have to trust the providence of God. God allowed Ziklag to get burnt to the ground. David was a great man, but great men don't always make wise decisions. If you got something to educate me on from our Bible students, tell me, but I really don't. I see what David was doing to get away from Saul, but I don't agree with him going and yoking up with the Philistines. I don't. No. God let that go on for a year and 4 months. And in God's providence, God allowed David's Ziklag, a gift from a Philistine leader, to burn to the ground. There's going to be times in your lives, young people, when you have sincerely thought you were doing the best option that there was. The best thing to do. And then at the end of it, you're going to find out that's not what God wanted for your life. God's going to take the people out. He's going to take the love out. He's going to take the little ones out. And in God's providence, He is going to burn your Ziklag to the ground. It ain't a pretty sight when you first see it. It ain't refreshing when you first see it. Anybody in here ever had God providentially burn something down in your life? Put a stop to what you were doing? And you'd have to go back and say, thank you, Jesus. So if you're going to encourage yourself in the Lord, you're going to have to learn how to trust the providential unseen hand of God. God in His sovereign woes, His sovereign knows. Then He's going to give a sovereign go. God, hey, in God's providence, we're standing. My time's up. Thank you, Pastor.